presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Stop me if you've heard this one before, but maybe a little more turmoil for the Florida Gators. Y'all know we love that around here, and we have reveled. I mean reveled in everything that has happened for Florida thus far this offseason, especially coming on the heels of Dan Mullen running that mouth over and over and over again. We'll get to this coming up about how it looks like there's some heat growing on Mullen around that Florida program just a bit. We will tell you all about that. Let me start with something that's not serious at all, though. Let me start with something that's just fun. And I laughed at this. I hope that you laugh at this as well. I think that you will. Maybe this is wishful thinking, and maybe this is me hearing what I want to hear. But I think accidentally, without meaning to, I believe that the legendary former coach and athletic director of the Georgia Bulldogs has put Florida coach Dan Mullen in his place in the perfect way imaginable. So let me see if I can set the stage. Vince Dooley was on the Paul Feinbaum show this week. And, you know, Paul's going to do what he does, and that's going to stir the pot a little bit. Paul's a provocateur when it comes to things like that. And so he asked Dooley about some of the stuff that's gone on, and the fact that Kirby Smart on Feinbaum's own show did not respond back to that, saying we like to do our talking with our helmets and we like to do all that kind of stuff. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to the end of this question from Paul Feinbaum, the answer from Vince Dooley, and I want you to see if you will join me in saying that Vince Dooley calls Dan Mullen something other than Dan Mullen. I think this is really funny. Take a listen and see if you hear this the same way I do. Here is Dooley from the Feinbaum Show.
You know Coach Mullen's quite as well.
So he says, I don't know Coach Mullen's quite as well. I think we actually have the longer clip, which is the question from Feinbaum with the Dooley answer. Let's see if we can hear that also.
He said, you know, we talk with our helmets. I'm sure that's a comment that you probably approve of.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I don't know Coach Mullen's quite as well.
I mean, I'm sorry, to my ears there, it sounds like he's saying, I don't know Coach Mullen's quite as well. And I don't think he's doing that on purpose. Listen, the one thing about Vince Dooley is he's a statesman, right? I mean, Vince Dooley is like, you know, one of those sort of pristine figures in the legendary lore of college football, not just for Georgia, the program that obviously loves him and he loves back. But Dooley's one of these statesman, you know, elderly, scholarly figures at the top of college football. Dooley's not getting in the fray on a back and forth deal. He's not going on the Paul Feinbaum show like somebody like me would to stir the pot and get attention and things like that. That's not what Dooley's doing. Dooley's going to, you know, be in his garden. He's going to be, you know, handling business, living life, and enjoying, you know, what is now for him a great retirement. He's not going on the Paul Feinbaum show to stir things up. And yet, I think accidentally he's going to put Dan Mullen in his place by saying, I don't know Coach Mullen's all that well. In fact, let me hear the short clip again, if you don't mind, of Dooley, I think, really setting it up perfectly for Dan Mullen here.
I don't know Coach Mullen's quite as well.
I mean, listen, if there's anything that kind of just sort of sums this all up and puts Dan Mullen in his spot, you know, Vince Dooley says, hey, listen, I won 201 games. I won 6 SEC championships. I won a national championship. I had real, tangible accomplishments in the SEC. This other guy who wants to be a player, who wants to have a seat at the table, yeah, I don't know him. I don't know much about him. He's not really on my radar, so much so that I'm going to call him Mullets instead of Mullen. Without meaning to, accidentally, inadvertently, I think that Vince Dooley's done a pretty good job of setting the table for exactly what Dan Mullen's stature is in the SEC right now. And I got to tell you, I enjoyed every minute of that. It doesn't have to be intentional to be perfect. In the case of Vince Dooley there in the Paul Feinbaum show, I think that was pretty dadgum perfect. Now, there are more serious things that Mullen is currently dealing with. He had one of those like rubber chicken events. I guess it was last night. A lot of chatter coming off of that. A lot of tense issues, tense conversations that Dan Mullen is currently dealing with right now. This off-season of turmoil, I think, is kind of continuing. There was even one moment when he was kind of grilled by reporters about kind of a touchy subject when it comes to violence against women. This ought to be seemingly a fairly easy question to answer. Mullen, I don't know that he handled this one as well as he possibly could have. Edgar Thompson, the Orlando Sentinel, was on hand. He tweets this out. Let me read a couple words from what Thompson tweets out. Thompson covers the Gators from the Orlando Orlando Sentinel. He says, asked if Mullen has a zero tolerance policy when it comes to violence against women. Dan Mullen says, I'd like to say that's my belief. But then he said it's not been a 100% deal during his career, and he cites Jeffrey Simmons as how it worked out favorably in that case. Boy, I don't know if it sounds all that great for Mullen to be putting the yeah, but to the idea of 100% zero tolerance policy towards violence against women. But to me, that's an example of the way that the walls are kind of closing in on Mullen right now. And, you know, obviously there's a degree to which that many of our audience wants this to be true. And in some cases, maybe some people in the media feeding that may overstate this from time to time. But there's no doubt that this these trips around the state of Florida to speak to boosters clubs and all those kinds of things, when it comes to Mullen, there is no doubt that he is not being treated as the conquering hero during this offseason the way that he probably thought he would after what most Florida fans thought was a pretty good spring practice and most Florida fans thought was a pretty good conclusion to the 2018 season and really even a pretty good signing class, at least by recent Florida standards. I think Mullen thought that he was going to be the hero of Gainesville and the hero of the Sunshine State. But as he travels around, he's talking about what may or may not happen with Jalen Jones, what may or may not happen that led Chris Steele to go into the transfer portal, and kind of a lot of other kind of touchy, kind of weird subjects with a lot of young men in his team kind of suddenly dealing with, you know, various bouts with the law or academic issues or everything else. And then you got, you know, more Florida players spouting off on Twitter. Naquan Wright is a 2019 signee at the running back position. It's unclear exactly what he means by all of this, but another kind of bad look for Florida on social media with an outspoken player. Wright tweeted something that I think is going to make a lot of Florida fans a little nervous. As earlier this week, he goes, these coaches will tell you anything to get you on the campus. Don't trust them. Always do what's best for you. Now, it's unclear what Wright means by that, but it's certainly not a great look to have him saying, hey, don't trust coaches. They're going to tell you whatever they have to tell you to get you on campus. And then he goes on to say transferring is not always a bad move. Once again, it's not clear exactly what he means by that. But with so many Florida players having been in the transfer portal, maybe a reference to some of them and maybe saying it wasn't a bad move they did that. This after some Florida players have been critical of Chris Steele for some of the stuff that, you know, had gone on there with him going in the transfer portal. It's way too public for many people when it comes to what's going on at Florida. So listen, the bottom line for me on this entire discussion is, for those of us around here who've been Gator haters for a while, we kind of think this couldn't happen to a happier bunch. And some of this with Florida is kind of serious. Not all of this is necessarily within the boundaries of football. And around here, we're obviously a little more interested in what goes on between the white lines and some of the more serious real life court of law type stuff that may be happening outside the, you know, the boundaries of football. But either way, for Dan Mullen, who I think thought he was going to step into this Florida program and be treated like, a hero, so far this offseason, that's not exactly been the case. He was running his mouth for a while, but now he's on the other end of other people running their mouths towards him, and I don't get the impression that he likes everything that's being said about him. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you. Thanks for being with us live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're also on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. Love being in the Classic City on the radio each and every day. And we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com, plus the Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player, everything else. We just appreciate you checking out Dog Nation Daily as a podcast. It's a fun way to deliver the on-demand version of our audio each and every day, and I love doing that. Now, speaking of the world-famous DogNation.com, my invitation to you would be to check out DogNation.com. Many of you do it throughout the day anyway. But one of the things in particular I want you to see, more details about our Dog Nation Days of Summer. Now, we're going to kick this thing off on Thursday, June 13th, the Cowie Resort and Gardens. If you're watching on video right now, you see some of the great amenities this resort has to offer. The Lodge is an unbelievable place to stay. AAA Four Diamond Resort. I'm talking about, you know, high quality. But there's also lake and pool. They have like almost like a water park within the lake there. There's golf. And I know many of you are hoping to play golf with us when we're there on Thursday, June 13th. We're probably going to play golf on that next day, on that Friday. You can go to DogNation.com and get more details on that. And I've been, you know, also telling you about what's going to be happening Thursday, August 1st at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. That's going to be a ton of fun as well. I think the overall point here is obviously so many of you from around the state, really around the country, are planning on traveling in, staying overnight there at both Brasstown and Callaway for these two great events. But I do want to make you aware of something that I'm getting a lot of questions about, and I know some of our Dog Nation staff's also been fielding a good bit of questions on this too. That obviously, if you're close by already, if you're essentially driving distance to Brasstown or Callaway, and you don't want to stay overnight and you want to be a part of our event, my understanding is even the VIP event on those particular nights as well, there may be an option for kind of being a part of that too. There are a lot more details coming about that in the days ahead. We're also going to be telling you about all the stuff that's going to be going on from a Dog Nation standpoint. Now, you know about the great amenities with the resorts and the kind of the fun summer stuff they kind of have going on, but there's also a really cool Dog Nation event taking place that night, and as we're getting closer, I'm going to be unveiling more of the details about that, including some special guests we haven't even announced yet. So a lot of stuff on the way when it comes to that. So if you're driving distance, drive on over and see us that night. Have dinner, have a cocktail, whatever, hang out, enjoy a little UGA football talk. But if you're around the state, around the country, you want a summer getaway, get on over to see us at Callaway Resort and Gardens on June 13th, Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa on August 1st. Our Dog Nation Days of Summer are just going to be incredible, and I cannot wait to share these great events coming up with you. Now, as I mentioned to our video audience before the show started today, we're going to welcome back a special guest here in just a moment. For the first time in a while, our buddy Mike Johnson, the former SEC All-American, a great analyst, a good friend of mine, a guy that's great when it comes to talking football, he is going to be with us here today on Dog Nation Daily. We're really excited about having him back a part of the program. Before we do that, though, I want to go around the doghouse, presented today by Online Trading Academy. And yesterday on Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger, there was a lot of good information on Georgia's 2020 quarterback commit, the four-star prospect Carson Beck. I think that Beck, the more I learn about him, the more you learn two things. First of all, this is a very impressive quarterback prospect. I would invite you to read some of the things that Jeff Sintel has been writing about Beck, some of the things that people around Beck there in Florida have said about him. This is a young man that seems to have a lot of those boxes checked off for what you want from a quarterback. The arm strength, the overall moxie, intelligence, a guy that reads defenses. He just seems to be kind of the total package when it comes to stuff like that. And the more you learn about him, you think, this young man has a chance to be a really pretty impressive player when he puts on a Georgia uniform. There's also a certain backstory to Beck that I kind of find pretty compelling, too. One of the things that happened when Beck committed, to a lot of people, it kind of seemed like it came out of nowhere. But Beck tried to tell us then that for him personally, it didn't come quite as much out of nowhere as you might think. That he said that he had a level of Georgia fandom that stretched back for a while, even though that he had seemingly a family connection to the Florida Gators. He had said that he was a Georgia fan and liked a lot of things about UGA. Had told us at the time that he was just sort of hoping for that Georgia offer. Well, when Jeff Sintel last week spent more time with Carson Beck, Beck kind of got a little more into some of that kind of stuff too, and kind of filled in some of the layers for what it was like for him before that very quick visit and then quick commitment to Georgia, the relationship that sped up really fast. Here's a little bit more details on how Beck viewed Georgia before Georgia was certain that he was the quarterback they wanted for the 2020 class. This is good stuff from Carson Beck.
Almost like from the beginning, I kind of fell in love with that place. So I continue to go to camps there every single summer. Mm-hmm. But kind of like you said earlier with the whole like girlfriend, like liking them, but them not loving me back. Like I always felt like they had interest in me and liked me, but it just wasn't enough almost. You know what I'm saying? Like they needed to see that game film and that he can go out and prove that he's a winner type of mentality almost.
I mean, I think that's really interesting. If you're a Georgia fan, I would imagine you kind of like that. This is a young man that had been, as he told Jeff, coming to Georgia camps from early on in his career as a quarterback, loved the atmosphere around the Georgia program and was hoping to earn that Georgia offer. And Georgia, for the people who like the idea of Georgia being very honest with its recruits and its potential targets, Georgia apparently, according to Beck, was very honest with him. Hey, we like what you're doing here, but we want to see what you're doing in games against 11-on-11 competition. We want to see how you handle all of that. And as the story goes, Beck has actually been very impressive in those regards. Showed out big time in the playoffs a year ago, and obviously that's the kind of thing that gets Georgia's attention. Georgia offers, he accepts, he's committed, and now he's completely shut down his recruitment, apparently. And he also went into detail with Jeff Sintel about exactly why that is.
Truly, just be easy with it. I mean, I found the place where I'm going to be treated like family, and I'm going to feel at home, honestly.
So listen, I love recruits saying they feel at home at Georgia. As I've said before, whether it be Tate Ratledge earlier in the week or Carson Beck right there, that familial bond, that connection, authentic, genuine, real, that's the thing that I think drives recruiting more than anything else. And the fact that Georgia continues to be really good at that, I think is a great sign for future recruiting wins for the program as well. And for more on Jeff Sintel with Carson Beck, either check out the Dog Nation video channels, including Before the Hedges presented by Kroger yesterday, or read some of Jeff's work on this same subject at DogNation.com. It's Around the Doghouse. It's presented by Online Trading Academy. And one of the most important decisions you can make is to invest in yourself. That means learning how to make money in the markets. You know, actually being able to do some of this stuff on your own, taking your own future in your own hands. Online Trading Academy gives you a great chance to do that across a spectrum of trading styles and a variety of asset classes, both in the classroom and online. Online Trading Academy is going to set you up to succeed. So the website you want to go to is tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. I want to make sure I'm clear about this. That's trading with a D. Tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. You can learn about how to make money in the markets, invest in yourself, and you'll set yourself up to reap the benefits for many, many years to come. It's great to have Online Trading Academy as a part of Around the Doghouse here today on Dog Nation Daily. All right, later on, I'm going to unveil the latest edition of our summer Q&A. I'll have an interesting look at kind of where Kirby Smart ranks amongst college football's best coaches. That's all to come. For now, though, as promised, boy, what a great day it is to have Mike Johnson back on Dog Nation Daily again, and great to have you with us, too. And I will say hello to a guy that I just love talking football with, and it's been too long since we've done that here on our program here today, but it's great to have him back. He is the former Alabama All-American, but a guy that follows this league really closely and has incredible insight on all the teams in the SEC, including the Georgia Bulldogs. It's Mike Johnson back here again today on Dog Nation Daily. And, Mike, really appreciate your time, and thanks for being with us.
Yeah, dude, I love BA. I love talking football with you too, my friend. It's been way too long since I've been a part of the program. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, it's nice to have you there as well. And let me bring you in on something I was just talking about before you kind of joined us. As you know, as a much-avowed Gator hater, the turmoil for Florida this offseason I find to be fascinating, whether it be, you know, players going in the transfer portal, you know, Dan Mullen already seemingly souring some of his fans on him after a lot of big talk, and now what seems to be kind of a level of unrest with you know, recruits decommitting, as I said, players transferring, and a level of uncertainty now about, you know, just how well Dan Mullen has his hands on the reins for this program right now. Kirby Smart obviously taking the high road on all this, saying, we're going to talk with our helmets. We're not going to follow in the footsteps of Mullen and his trash talk, the silly stuff from the spring game with the attendance figure and everything else. As a more objective observer, neutral analyst when it comes to something like this, what do you make of how loud and outspoken Dan Mullen's been so far this spring and summer, and kind of how that relates to Kirby and the rest of the SEC?
He's definitely gone about it a little bit different way than most Georgia and Alabama fans are probably used to their head coach going about it. But, you know, I find it kind of interesting, B.A., and I'm sure you'll probably echo this sentiment. Isn't this just the Florida way of doing things? I mean, going all the way back to Steve Spurrier, as outspoken as Steve Spurrier was, right? And Urban Meyer even at times. This seems to be the way that a lot of Florida coaches and successful ones have gone about it in the past. You know, I think you and I both talked numerous times that I felt like this past season was very, very pivotal for Dan Mullen. And while I think they had a decently good year, you know, better year than most people really expected, I still think there's an incredibly long road back. When you look at the talent they lost at the top of that roster, I don't know that they brought enough pieces in to really challenge for some of those spots and to get back to where they were a year ago with some of the linemen they've lost and some of the, you know, the guys in the secondary they lost. So those are a pivotal year again coming up. And it does sound like to me, you know, just from a guy outside of it looking at Dan Mullen, like he might be writing some checks that, you know, his butt can't cash. So,
no doubt.
But it'll be interesting to see the way it plays out. And it'll be, you know, and just to add on to what you were talking about the transport portal, I'm not one of those guys that looks at guys transferring for a program and thinks it's automatically bad. I think that, you know, at Georgia when Kirby took over, at Alabama when Nick took over, and this happens at other programs, sometimes you do have to weed out some guys, and it looks a lot different now with the transfer portal and some of the other things going on. But there is sometimes you have to get rid of some pieces in order to bring new blood in. I just don't know if Florida right now kind of fits in that category. And I think that Dan Mullen, I think he better be pretty careful, you know, the way he goes about the rest of this offseason, headed into the next football season, because I think the brash talk works as long as you're being relatively successful and you're still on the up and you're still getting better. But once you take a hard loss and take a loss that you shouldn't, all of a sudden you look like a fool for saying some of the things you did. So you better be careful moving forward because, boy, that's a slippery slope.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. And what I've said before is, you know, as much as guys like me like to poke at Florida and jab at them and behave the way that rivals behave in the SEC, ultimately, and I think you're going to agree with me on this, ultimately, Dan Mullen's biggest problem might be his own fans because, as you said, you know, it's a Florida tradition like Steve Spurrier in the past to kind of be kind of a brash, somewhat cocky coach in his own way. Urban Meyer is probably like that too. That's what Florida fans expect from their coach, but they also expect a level of winning that's not just having more points than the opponent, but kind of winning with style a bit there as well. And Florida fans are restless for success. It's been a while. You know, it's been more than a decade since that last national championship. All of a sudden, the glory days of Florida start to seem like the kind of thing that a lot of young people haven't really experienced a whole lot of. So ultimately, if things don't get much better for Mullen on the field this year, and I think there's a chance they may struggle more than some people realize, then, Mike, I believe it's going to be the Florida fans who actually end up being the biggest problem for Mullen because they're going to be the ones reminding him of all the things that he did during the offseason and how he did not back that up on the field. They're ready for a winner, and I'm not sure that Dan Mullen is going to be capable of providing that, at least in 2019.
Yeah, and B.A., just to echo the sentiment I had just a few minutes ago when we started this conversation, saying that, you know, Dan Mullen's been outspoken and saying he's been very brash about some of the things he wants to do and some of the things he thinks his team will do. I'm not sure, and maybe you have a little bit better insight on this than I do, I'm just not sure that Dan Mullen even really is at heart. Like, I don't even feel like Dan Mullen is that type of guy. I still know the Mississippi State version of Dan Mullen where it was, you know, gosh golly, I hope we can, you know, put together a string of wins and win some of these games. I feel like he's trying to fit more into this Florida mold because he's been there in the past, and he knows how brash Florida fans can be, and he knows that Florida fans like to talk their trash, and he's trying to fit into that mold and appeal to his fan base and appeal to the, you know, the recruits down there in Florida. So, I think there's a way of going about it. Dan Mullen obviously trying to do it differently, which I don't fault him for because what's been going on at Florida over the last couple of head coaches has not worked. So he's trying to go about it a different way, but I'm with you. When you talk about that fan base, and when he was named head coach, you and I were covering on SEC Country, his own wife was talking about the fan base down there in Florida, that she didn't even like to go grocery shopping in Gainesville because all the fans expected 30-point blowout wins. And so I just think he needs to be careful. I understand he's doing it differently, and I understand he wants things to look differently and feel differently and wants, you know, that fan base excited. But, boy, like we just said a minute ago, once that carpet gets pulled out from under you, and I agree with you, I think they're going to struggle more than most people think they will just because that offensive line. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how he reacts and how that fan base reacts for sure.
Let me talk about Georgia for a moment. And, you know, Mike, I'll admit, and I've said this to our audience here a little bit here and there, this is a very tough preseason to process for Georgia because on the one hand, Georgia's playoff odds, according to at least one, you know, betting house, are like 45%. That's really, really good. I think there's a chance that Georgia is a point spread favorite over like 127 teams. They may be a point spread favorite over every team in the country in a neutral field with the exception of Alabama and Clemson. Mike, as you know, those are the two teams that really matter. And if they were going to play in Mercedes-Benz Stadium this upcoming Saturday, I think Alabama would still be a slight favorite over Georgia, and I think that Clemson would be a slight favorite over Georgia. That doesn't mean that Georgia can't win either one of those games, but it is a weird situation that, at least on paper, the 2019 season starts much the way the 2018 season ended. I think at the end of last year, in the regular season anyway, Georgia was better than everybody but Alabama and maybe Clemson, and that's kind of the perception that's out there right now. It could be a great season, and yet Georgia's going to have to really fight and scratch and claw in two really tough games to make that so. As a former player, as a fan now, I mean, how do you process all of that, looking at how much better Georgia seemingly is than most of the teams that will play, and yet how much work there is still yet to be done against the two teams that are going to be ranked ahead of it?
Yeah, I think that, to be honest with you, and you know, I reluctantly say this, I love my Georgia fans, I think they're in a great spot. I really strongly believe Georgia's in a great spot. Now, I tend to agree with you that Vegas might make Alabama a point spread favorite if they were playing Georgia on a neutral field, I'm not even sure I agree with it, though. When you look at what Georgia is good at, when you look at their offensive line that they are returning with all those big studs up front, I think they can match up well against anybody they play, specifically Alabama, the defensive line that's lost Quinnen Williams and some of their other pieces from this past year. So, you know, listen, I think that Georgia, looking at last year, they have to get a little bit better on the back end. I think they've done that. I think they have to find a pass rush in the front seven and find that speed. I think they will. I think they've got some pieces and obviously have recruited extremely well. I think it all comes down to matchups. And, you know, the matchups are different here in the middle of May than they will be when we get to September and even on past that into December and possibly January. But I love where Georgia's at. I think they had almost the perfect amount of success last year to try to make a run this year. And you and I have talked about a number of times our 2008 Alabama team that lost the Sugar Bowl to Utah. We became hungry and we ran the table the next season. I'm not sure that many teams in the country have that balance of still having that edge and still having that ability to want to climb to the top and also having the successful pieces and the players from the year before to think you can get that done. So how do I process it? I process it just like those players are because I'm a player at heart. Mm-hmm. You get out on the practice field, you do your 7-on-7s, you do your drills, you get stronger in the weight room, and when that ball kicks off early in the season, I think it's Vanderbilt you guys open up with, and if I'm not mistaken, Notre Dame probably there in week four is a big one to be circled.
Oh, yeah.
Those are huge matchups that those guys are already thinking about right now. So they're working towards that, and I can assure you that the guys in that locker room are extremely hungry right now to make sure they get back to the situation they were in a year ago over there in Atlanta and make sure that they don't give it up this time.
On the Alabama front for a moment, I was talking to some Georgia fans last night, and the one thing that I think kind of comes up when you look ahead to what could be that sort of return match showdown in Atlanta for the SEC championship, again, be the third year in a row they've played in a postseason type of situation, second consecutive SEC championship if it unfolds. I think one of the things that Georgia fans take maybe, I don't want to say comfort in, but it's at least a possibility for vulnerability from Alabama, and I'm curious your thoughts on this. If you look at Tua last year, as great as he was, it is probably fair to say that he wasn't as great against the better defenses that he played. Clemson in the national championship game, Georgia in the SEC championship game. Now, you can also say that coincides with him not exactly being 100% healthy maybe, but nonetheless, the numbers speak for themselves. He dominated the lesser defenses and didn't quite dominate the better defenses that he played a year ago. How vulnerable do you think Tua Tagovailoa is in those situations, and how much does Tua still have to prove against elite quality defensive competition in 2019 from your perspective?
Yeah, I would be lying to you if I didn't say that there's still some questions for me. And I think a lot of Alabama fans do feel that way. When you look at Tua Tagovailoa, extremely excited, right? There's not any question about Tua being a good passer, being an accurate passer. But there is a sense, I feel like, amongst some Alabama fans, and talking to them as much as I do, that he almost had a little bit too much confidence in the stretch run. Like, he almost felt like, he couldn't be denied some of the throws he wanted to make and some of the scrambling that he wanted to do. And, you know, Alabama has been successful for so long under Nick Saban because the quarterbacks understood what they were. They were just another chess piece, and they understood where they needed to go with the ball and how much time they had, and they needed to get rid of it. Tua, for everything he did well and for every time you like him pulling a spin move in the backfield and rolling out of the pocket, throwing a dime ball 40 yards down the field, you can do that against lesser teams, and you can't do that against the Georgias of the world. So I think Alabama fans, for a lot of part, just want to see him go through his progression and understand when these windows have closed. If he's getting blitzed, get to your outlet, get to your hot look, get to your reads, and get the ball out of your hands. Don't try to do too much. And I think that Tua did try to do too much at times in some of these tougher games last year. So chinks in the armor, I definitely think that's one of them. I want to see Tua get past this whole, hey, I have a golden arm and I can throw it 50 yards down the field on a dime, and go through your progression. Get it to your running back in the flat, allow him to make some moves, and live to fight another play. And I think a lot of Alabama fans, if they see that, will feel a lot better. And I think they'll be better prepared for that stretch playoff run once it comes.
Let me finish up with this. We appreciate your time on Dog Nation Daily today, Mike. But one of the topics I've talked about a lot this offseason is I believe this year being the number one seed is going to really matter. I don't know that playoff seeding has mattered a ton in the past. I think it will matter this year. And for the sake of conversation, let's assume that it's either Alabama or Georgia that makes the playoff. Let's assume it's not both of them, just to make the conversation easy. Between the SEC champ and Clemson, the presumed ACC champ, playing that semifinal game in Atlanta is a huge advantage compared to having to play in Arizona, which is the other semifinal game. If you can go Atlanta-New Orleans as your playoff run, especially for the SEC champion who would go Atlanta-New Orleans to get that done, I just think that's a really big deal, which means being undefeated in the regular season this year is more important than it's probably ever been. So to stay on Alabama here for a moment, Mike, I think the West is actually pretty deep this year. I think the Texas A&M is pretty good. I'm really amazed at how much better a program LSU seems to be right now compared to where it was a year ago. Orgeron's recruited really well there, and that's a really deep roster to me. And I think that Auburn's probably a little undervalued compared to their preseason expectations right now. Between those three SEC West teams, do you think Alabama skates through undefeated, or do you think they're potentially at risk for a regular season loss?
I truly believe that Alabama probably runs the table this season. And I'm going to say that with this in the back of my mind. I almost hope they don't, B.A. And I know that it sounds really crazy to a lot of people, but any Alabama fan will tell you that it's been a long time since Alabama has run the table and had success in the playoffs. Alabama's been able to do the regular season thing. Hey, that's really nice. You know, beat Auburn and then beat LSU and, you know, the Texas A&M of the world and skate through the regular season. I'd almost rather them be battle-tested along the way. I'd almost rather them slip up to an LSU or a Texas A&M or one of those teams, because that's when Alabama becomes dangerous, when they lose to an Ole Miss or when they lose to a Johnny Football or some of the other teams along the way. So, unfortunately, and I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, unfortunately, I do feel like that Alabama is in a good place to be able to run the table. And I do agree with you. Listen, I think Texas A&M, I think they're rising faster under Jimbo Fisher than a lot of people thought they would. I was high on them a year ago. I think that as long as they continue to develop up front, that they're going to be very good. I think that LSU is in a better place this year than they were a year ago. Auburn, I'm still a little bit out on Auburn right now. I got to see what happens in this quarterback battle and with Gus Malzahn calling plays. But, you know, I think Alabama's in a good position to run the table, and I know that Georgia fans feel the same way about their own schedule, that I'm already looking at that first weekend in December and, you know, kind of getting my eye black on and getting ready for another one of these matchups. I think it could be a lot of fun once again, my friend.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a blast. I can't wait for it. Mike, I really appreciate your time to help us get set up for all this. Your insight on the SEC is always a ton of fun. My hope is we can have you back here on the show again really soon and do some of this some more.
I always enjoy it, B.A. You guys have a good day.
Thanks so much.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Y'all know I enjoy Mike. I just think that his insight in college football is just great, because a lot of former players are not really fans, and obviously a lot of fans can't really have the insight of a former player. A lot of guys, when their football career is done, they kind of move on and I guess they go just do other things, get interested in other stuff. But Mike, who, you know, was legitimately an All-American, had a very good career at Alabama, went on to play number of years the Atlanta Falcons, and now that he's not playing anymore, this guy that's watching a ton of football, this is a guy that's still very plugged in to what's going on, and I like that. And, you know, listen, there's not a ton of Alabama guys that we really like around here, but Mike is definitely one of those, and I loved his insight on all of that. And by the way, a couple of things that Mike just brought to mind will be a part of our summer Q&A coming up in just a couple of minutes, so hope you will stick around for that. For now, let's do our SEC through, and there was something I wanted to talk about for a little bit yesterday, and I just didn't have time to. Sometimes we have so much crammed into the show that it's hard to get it all in, so I wanted to give a little breathing room for this topic today. Y'all know that I like lists. This is sometimes jokingly called list season around college football, because everybody's got their best coaches of this and worst programs of this and most disappointing this, top five, blah, blah, blah. I just like that kind of stuff. It sets up for a fun debate, fun argument, and that's what college football to me is all about. Well, Tom Fornelli, CBS Sports, has his top 25 coaches in college football. CBS does some version of this every single year. I think maybe Fornelli has only recently inherited this duty, but CBS has been ranking coaches for a long time. Let me give you the top five, and let me give you where Kirby Smart falls in this list. Saban from Alabama is still number one. Believe it or not, that's actually semi-controversial in some circles now, given the fact that Dabo Swinney has won two national championships now and won so decidedly over Alabama this past season. It's actually more controversial than you might think to still rank Saban ahead of Sweeney. That's kind of an interesting debate. You get Chris Peterson from Washington there at number three. There's nothing the national media loves more than hyping up these do more with less type guys. But Peterson's a guy that always seems to get some love there in that regard. He comes in at number three. Lincoln Riley is at number four on this list. Jimbo Fisher's at number five on this list. And then you get to Kirby Smart at number six. Now, let me make a quick point about this. Kirby Smart has not done enough yet to be all that much higher than number six on this list. I do think there's something to be said for earning your way up the ladder on this, and one SEC championship, one playoff appearance is probably not enough to say I'm the third best coach in college football or the second best coach in college football. You probably got to do a little bit more earning along the way to do that. However, a couple of things that I do think are kind of interesting. Jimbo Fisher at five, I'm guessing if you saw these lists a year ago, and I don't have this in front of me, I'm guessing that Fisher, before last year, did not rank as the fifth best coach in college football on lists like this. A lot of people still remembered the sour way with which his career in Tallahassee ended. Seemed to lose a lot of steam there at the end of his Florida State coaching tenure. Suddenly, though, he gets a big paycheck from Texas A&M, and there's a lot of preseason chatter. All of a sudden, without the benefit of a ton of wins, Jimbo Fisher's kind of climbing the ranks on these kinds of things again. But it's really Lincoln Riley, ranked ahead of Kirby Smart, that probably riles me up the most, no pun intended. I mean, head-to-head, Smart beat Lincoln Riley in the Rose Bowl. And a few key decisions that Riley made are part of the reason why Kirby Smart won that game. I think there's a pretty strong case to be made, to the extent that it matters at all, that Kirby Smart ought to be ranked ahead of Lincoln Riley on the list of top coaches in college football. Dan Mullen is at 10 on this list. Mullen's one of those guys that has been a media darling for a long time. As I said before, there's nothing the national media likes doing. Reporters want to feel smart. The way they like to feel smart is to tout these do more with less type coaches. And that's what Mullen kind of was at Mississippi State. And to Mullen's credit, he was picked last in the SEC West at SEC Media Days virtually every single year. Almost never did that. So to a certain extent, he kind of did do more with less at Mississippi State. But that's a pretty thin resume to be the number 10 coach in all of college football, according to Tom Fornelli at CBS Sports. And yes, I know, I got, you know, an axe to grind with Mullen, I guess, a little bit. But at some point in time, don't you have to do something of merit? I mean, at a certain point in time, don't you have to do something then pull the occasional upset and you know, things of that nature? You know, Florida is one of those schools where you're not supposed to do more with less. You're supposed to do more with more, and that's the way that Mullen's going to be judged now. It was top 10 a year ago. But listen, you know, what consequential win did Florida collect on its way towards doing that? Difficult to say that there was really anything in that regard. And then you get near the end of this list, at least in the top 25, you have Dan Mullen coming in at number 20. I'm sorry, you have Gus Malzahn from Auburn coming in at number 24. What Fornelli writes is, when I look at the way we all vote for Malzahn in these rankings in a given year, I start to wonder if we're all Auburn fans. Our opinions on Gus vary quite a bit. In other words, they're up one year, they're down the next. Fornelli says, but they all fluctuate together. This year, he drops 10 spots after being at number 14 a year ago. So, yeah, Mullen's one of those guys that kind of, I'm sorry, Malzahn is one of those guys that kind of goes up and down the rankings depending on kind of whatever's going on at a given point. I do think, as I told Mike Johnson a moment ago, I think there's a chance that Auburn is slightly undervalued heading into the season. I think it's a top 25 team this year, for instance. And while I don't think they beat Georgia on the road in November, I think they're going to beat a few teams, and I think they're probably a top 25 team. And along the way to being kind of a deep SEC West, one in which LSU is almost for sure a top 10 team, Texas A&M could be joining Alabama in the fray there as well. Auburn kind of floating around that top 25. I certainly think that's a bit of a possibility. It's probably worth paying attention to. We'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, as we're getting ready for our Dog Nation Days of Summer coming up on June 13th and August 1st, the other thing that we're doing, we're trying to be a little bit more relaxed in the summertime. You know, there's so much content to hit heading towards National Signing Day or heading through spring practice or obviously during the season itself. There's so much time where you have just a full show completely filled up with little news tidbits and nuggets and things along those lines. In the summer, you hope to have more of an opportunity to kind of catch your breath and relax. And, you know, we take comments. We do this in the video show all the time, and we like to make this a part of the regular show during the summertime of year. And for those of you that listen to the podcast, the radio show, or anything like that, we always invite you to reach out to us on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily in the comment section when we post the podcast, worldfamousdognation.com. We want to make our show as interactive as possible, and one of the ways in which we do that is with our summer Q&A. So here are the summer Q&A questions today, and I hope you'll feel free to engage with us on these, no matter which platform you consume Dog Nation Daily on. The first question as part of our summer Q&A today is, which other UGA sports do you follow? Now, the reason why I ask you this is because we got kind of a nice run for the spring sports right now. Women's tennis is getting ready for a big NCAA match coming up. The golf team just advanced yesterday as part of the Athens Regional. They're heading to Fayetteville for the NCAA kind of finals, whatever you want to call it, coming up later on in May. Huge series for the Diamond Dogs starts tonight. Regular season finale against Alabama. Cool television audience there for that. Georgia just setting itself up to hopefully be a national seed. You got some great stuff going on with some of the spring sports for UGA. On this program, we talk like 99.9% football, but there are other UGA sports that we're obviously interested in as fans, and we're curious to find out how interested you are in some of these other sports too, so you can weigh in on that. And then along the lines that we talked about with Mike Johnson a moment ago, seeding is going to be important this year, and being challenged in your own division one way or another is going to determine a lot about both Georgia and Alabama. So two questions that kind of go together. Will Georgia go undefeated in 2019? Will Georgia finish the regular season 12-0? This is a year where I think doing that is important, but just because it's important doesn't mean you can get it done or will get it done. Weigh in on that. And then the same kind of question for Alabama, which we obviously talked to Mike about before. I believe the SEC West right now is at the top, deeper than the SEC East is. The SEC East on balance may be the better division and that there's no awful team in the East. At least on paper, there might not be. I think there's at least still one awful team in the SEC West. I believe it may still be Ole Miss. But at the top, with the Auburns and the LSUs and the Texas A&Ms just below Alabama, that may be the deeper division. Is that a division in which Alabama can go undefeated in? I would love to hear you weigh in on that. And then finally, had a chance to hear from Carson Beck a little earlier as a part of what we saw yesterday on Before the Hedges presented by Kroger. So when you look at the next generation of Georgia quarterbacks, the two guys on the roster right now, Beck, who'll be here in 2020, which of these Georgia quarterbacks do you think has the brightest future? Is it Stetson Bennett, who knows the program and been around here? Is it Dwan Mathis, who showed off a pretty interesting athletic skill set at times during spring practice and then a bit on G-Day? Or is it Carson Beck because of the credentials that he's putting together as a high school quarterback? Which of those three incoming players to Georgia has the better overall chance of really being a future star for Georgia's quarterback position? Love to have you weigh in on that. On video, we'll do this coming up on Twitter, or if you're watching on the or you're listening to the radio show or the podcast, you can reach out to me at Dog Nation Daily. Let me also remind you of one more thing before we get ready to go. You know, you can get Atlanta news now at AJC.com, and it's one of those things you want to check in on AJC.com throughout the day because there's obviously news happening throughout the day here and some really interesting stuff. For instance, AJC.com today, there was a protest at the DeKalb County Jail. There's a really cool piece of video, very interesting at least, that was shot from there. You can see a link to that at AJC.com. Some interesting stuff going on with Governor Kemp and some of the Hollywood stuff. Obviously, Georgia's become a hotbed for the movie industry, and there's some kind of interesting dealings going on back and forth with that. More coverage of that at AJC.com as well. So make sure you check out AJC.com, and you can get Atlanta news now. All right, so we'll do our summer Q&A with you on video here in a moment, or, as I said before, on all the other platforms for the podcast and radio audience. We love interacting with you and getting your thoughts on things happening around the program, around Georgia athletics, and we'll get a chance to do that as part of our summer Q&A. We also talked a good bit of Florida Gators here and some of the rough stuff happening for them this offseason and this week, accentuating that even more, which is a great time for Gator haters to revel in all of that, and it's also a great reminder to you that it has now been 929 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. That is good news. It's our Gator Hater Updater right here on Dog Nation Daily. As I said before, it's Georgia baseball tonight against Alabama. Wins are nice to have as Georgia tries to secure one of those national seeds and getting a chance to host regionals, host super regionals, and maybe put itself in a position to go to Omaha in the College World Series. Best of luck to them. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow right back here on Dog Nation Daily.